You're listening to the Travel Geniuses podcast for travel agents who love planning vacations for their clients, but wish the business side of things was just a little bit easier. This is episode 59, and I'm sharing some of my favorite books with you. Hey, Travel Geniuses, Christy here. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the podcast. This episode is a little different than what I normally do. Usually, I try to make sure that there's some sort of action you can take, some sort of lesson or something you can implement at the end of the podcast episode that will make a positive change in your business. And this episode, all I'm going to be doing is, not all, yeah, pretty much all, is sharing with you some of my favorite books. Most of them are business books, a couple of them are not, but these are some of my very favorites. They're not all my favorites. I have a lot of favorites, just like I have a lot of favorite destinations. At the end, I will share if there was one book I could make everybody read and understand and really take in, this would be it. I never really had a favorite book before until I read this one. So I will be sharing that one last. But other than that one, I have a lot of favorites. So these are just some of them. And depending on how you like this episode, maybe I will do another episode with some more of my favorites. I have a lot of old classics that I really loved when I read them, but I haven't read them in years and years, so I would need to review them, make sure things are still relevant. I have a pile of probably at least 20 books that I've ordered and I haven't read yet, so maybe some of those will make the list as well. But right now, these are, if I were to send you a gift box with my favorite books, these would be the ones that would be in there. So I hope that you enjoy this as much as I'm enjoying sharing them with you. All right, so let's get started. I have a stack of 9 books sitting in front of me right now, and I'm going to mention one bonus book as well. So I'm going to talk about 3 that are more like mindset, little law of attraction-y. So those will be the first 3, and then the next 3 are about finding and nurturing your audience and your client base. Then there's 2 that are about money, and then the one that's my favorite book ever. And if you read nothing else on this list, I hope you'll read it, and I hope it helps you as much as it helped me. And then there is a bonus book in there too. So the first book I want to talk about is called Chillpreneur by Denise Duffield Thomas. And I know I've talked about her before. She is actually my sort of gateway drug into this whole like mindset, law of attraction, stuff like that. And I'm not super into that. I'm like baby. I have one toe in that pond. That's about it. But she was what opened my eyes to what it could be, and that there's more to it than just sitting around thinking about stuff and expecting it to just magically, like if you meditate on what you want long enough, it's just going to happen. That's what I thought people were saying when they talked about manifesting. And it was her that said, at least the first time I heard it, manifesting means to make happen. Like, yes, knowing what you want is part of it, and thinking about it and being reminded of it all the time is important, because that gives you the motivation to do the work to do it, but you still have to do the work to get it to happen. You can't sit around wanting this successful business and it's just going to magically happen. You still have to send emails. You have to help people find you and let them know that you can help and how they can work with you. All of that. You can't just sit around and expect it to happen. But if you're not there yet, it's okay. The book I am recommending of hers today, or my favorite book of hers, honestly, is called Chillpreneur. And it's literally, the whole point of it is everything that I want for you and the whole reason Travel Geniuses even exists. It's sort of anti-hustle. And I don't think she necessarily straight up says that, but you know, the like Gary V's of the world and people who tell you, you have to work hard, you like sleep 4 hours a day, you can't watch any fun TV, or you're wasting time and you don't deserve to have a business if that's what you're going to do. She's the exact opposite of that. And so am I. And before I even say anything else, if that's you, some people are just higher energy than others. And so I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the hustle culture. It's just not the life I want. I will be sick all the time if I try to live that way. I'm not I don't have that much energy in my body or my brain to sustain something like that. But I'm not saying there's anything wrong if that's you. But Denise's book, Chillpreneur, is just full of lots of great tips for changing things in your business and making decisions in your business so that you can enjoy your life and your business more. But just like with manifesting, you can't just decide you want a business that's easy and enjoyable. You have to make conscious choices to make that happen. I just recorded an episode about boundaries recently, and that's kind of along the same lines. You can't just expect things to happen the way you want them to. You have to make conscious choices and set things up so that your business is easy and fun and something you enjoy working in versus having to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, never being able to take vacation, working with clients who are rude and mean, booking trips that you find boring and uninspiring. It doesn't have to be that way. Now, I will say this book is written primarily from the expectation that the people reading it are coaches. So it does kind of skew towards that. So it does take a little bit of creative thinking to figure out how to apply what you're reading in the book and what you're learning to your business. But really, at the end of the day, you're a vacation coach. So it is pretty, there's a pretty good parallel there. But I just wanted to be clear that it is written, it seems, with coaches in mind. A couple of things that she talks about in the book, if you can hear, I've got paper in front of me, my notes I took earlier. She talks about automating things and simplifying things, even if it's just going to save you 30 seconds. She calls it the keyless lifestyle. One of the things she talks about in the book is how annoying it was every time she came home to like find her keys in her bag and put them in the door to unlock her front door and all of that. And she was like, this is silly, and invested in one of those locks for your door where you just type in the code and it unlocks for you, or they probably have them with apps and stuff now. So little things like that, and you can do things like that in your business as well. Anything you can do to minimize every bit of frustration and friction, things that you don't enjoy, things that take up a lot of time, things that you have to do every day, if you can automate those. That's some of the stuff she talks about in here. She gives some marketing tips, like ways to make your marketing simpler. That's actually part of the inspiration for the episode I did about making sure you're telling people how they can work with you. Like, don't hide it. Don't assume that they know how to work with you and what you help with and how you can help. You have to just tell them. It's very simple, but most of us get so caught up in all these complicated, like how to post on Instagram every day and doing Instagram reels, and we're forgetting about the very basic stuff. So she just has some tips on getting back to those basics there and making it easy, tips for pricing your services, ideas, and some sample scripts for handling difficult conversations around money and pricing as well. So it's a really good book. It's one of my favorites. You're going to hear me say that a lot. And again, that's Chillpreneur by Denise Duffield Thomas. Now, the next book is one I know I've talked about on here before as well. It's called Desire Map by Danielle Laporte. This book helped me reframe the way I think about goals. I'm not money motivated. That doesn't mean I don't want money, but I don't want money for the sake of money. Like, if I want money because of what it can give me and what my life can look like with more money. So when people tell me to set goals based on like, how much do you want to make in the next year and how many new clients do you want and all of that, that's very unmotivating for me because I don't really care. What I want is to feel a certain way. I want my life to be peaceful and calm. I want time to spend with family and friends without constantly worrying about all the work that I'm going to have to do because I've taken time out of my day to go have lunch with a friend. I want to be able to travel with my family. I want them to experience some of the things that I've been able to experience. I want to take them on a safari in Africa, and I want to charter a boat on an uncruise, like one of their small boats, and take my whole family to Alaska. I want to take my mom on a river cruise, all of those things. And those are not anything that has, like, I need money to accomplish them, but money's not the goal. And so Desire Map is all about, instead of thinking about financial goals, thinking about how you want to feel. Because at the end of the day, say you have a financial goal of making $1 million a year, there are lots of ways you can do that. And there's a possibility that you'll make choices in trying to reach that $1 million a year goal that will leave you working 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, never being able to take any time off, doing things you don't enjoy for people you don't like. I think she talks in the book about being given an opportunity to have her own show on TV. And while yes, that would have helped her reach the financial goals she had, that is not the life she wanted. She didn't want to have to be in front of people all the time, and she didn't want to have to go into a studio and move to another city and have that sort of high pressure lifestyle. So that's the whole point and purpose of the book, is to help you really think about what you want, not just financial goals, but what do you want your life to look like and what do you want it to feel like? And pro tip on this one, Danielle has the most soothing way of speaking. And I have the print version of this book, but I absolutely love the audio of it as well. So I encourage you to check out the audiobook and the print. I am a print book person. I like to underline things, and it helps me review things when I can pull up a book and I'm visual, so I can sometimes see the page in my mind where some information was that I want to remember. But I just absolutely loved the audio of this book as well. And quick bonus tip here, there is an app called Readwise, and I will admit I don't really use it very well yet, but it's mostly because I read a lot of paper books, and there's an extra step involved if you want to use a paper book, but it will take your highlights from your Kindle book, and then you can type in your own highlights from paper books or audiobooks as well. But what it does is feeds them back to you. You'll get an email. I think with the app, it might even have a pop-up periodically throughout the day with the things you've highlighted. And what's great about that is so many times I've read a book and there'll be some great, like, oh my gosh, that's brilliant, and I definitely need to remember that. I highlight it and then I promptly forget all about it and don't ever think about it again unless I review the book and go through and read the things I've underlined. And this brings those to mind every day. It'll give you a certain number a day. Again, I haven't really taken advantage of this fully, but I do get periodic emails from them with some highlights from books that I've read on my Kindle and highlighted. So if you're a Kindle reader, for sure, I recommend this app. And if you're not as lazy as me and disciplined enough to type in your highlights when you read a book, it could be a really useful tool and help you keep some of those things top of mind and help you integrate the things you're learning into your life as well. Yeah, so I really like that app and wish that I was the type of person who used the Kindle more often. I have a Kindle. I just like paper a little bit better. All right, the next book. Now, this one's a little weird. I feel a little uncomfortable even sharing it because it is very, very woo-woo, very, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way. Like, it's just very money mindset, manifesting, law of attraction. It's called A Happy Pocket Full of Money by David Cameron Gikandi. And it was recommended to me by Britt Kolo from Marketing Personalities, who I've had on the show. She had a list of money books for each personality type. And I'm an INFJ, and this was the only one on the list that I hadn't read yet. This book is very, very far into the manifesting and law of attraction world. So this may not be for everybody, but if you maybe are starting to feel like maybe that's something that you're open to, I definitely loved this book and learned a lot from it and have read it a couple times now. I will say there's a chapter in it about quantum physics, which I he kept saying in the book, like, I know this isn't going to make sense to you now, but as you read more, it'll start to kind of make sense. It still doesn't make sense to me. I literally cannot wrap my head around what they're even talking about. And I've spent a lot of time like Googling what it means. And like, I know some people who have tried to explain it to me. And I'm like, no, I don't speak your language. I don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, so it is very a little bit out there, but it's also very practical. He talks about like creating a journal with pictures, and words describing what you want in your life. So if you go back to Danielle Laporte's book, The Desire Map, all those things, like create yourself a journal with pictures pasted in there and review it every day. And it's not that reading it every day is going to magically make it happen, but I think it just kind of triggers something in your brain. So when you're struggling that day and there's like, you know, you need to mention how people can work with you and that they can hire you as a travel agent, and you're feeling a little like, ugh, I don't like doing that. It makes me feel pushy. Remembering and having that fresh in your memory, what you want and why you want to grow this business and what you want your life to look like, helps make that a little less scary and gives you like a little push to help do the things that are sometimes uncomfortable. So yeah, it's again, very woo, but I loved it. And so maybe if you're not an INFJ, maybe you won't like it as much, but I encourage you to at least give it a try. Okay, the next three books are more practical. We're done with all the woo-woo stuff. These books are steps in growing your audience and nurturing them and taking good care of your clients. So the first one is called They Ask, You Answer. And this is the book that was the inspiration for the anti-marketing marketing program. It's by Marcus Sheridan. And the whole idea around the book is for your marketing, you don't have to play a bunch of tricks with people. The way you help people find you is by being helpful, being a teacher, and being the authority in your niche. So I'm not saying you have to be the authority in travel, but in your specific niche, your specialties, and then you're the go-to place when somebody has a question about what to do. And then they learn to trust you. They see you as an expert, and then they'll turn into clients. And there's a lot more to it, but using this book, if you follow what's in here, you will never run out of a content idea ever. Like, you'll have so many ideas for things you can write about in your blog or talk about on your podcast or your YouTube channel, social media, all the places. You will literally never run out of an idea. And I did, like I said, this is the inspiration for the anti-marketing marketing program. We're done with that one right now. But with a couple of these books, we've worked through them. The next three after this, we've worked through them in Insiders. And I've been thinking about creating standalone courses out of them. So if you hear one of them that I talk about and you're interested, let me know. That will tell me which ones to do first, or if it's even a good idea. And if I don't hear from you, maybe it's not a good idea and I won't waste my time. But this one was really, really good. And I wish that I could have you all go through it, because it was very impactful, and it was a lot of good information, a lot of work, but I find myself wanting to reference some of the things we learned there a lot. So that's They Ask, You Answer by Marcus Sheridan. And I will say that book is written more for, like, it's written for big corporations, like people with teams, people who can hire somebody just to do the marketing. So it does take a little bit to try and figure out how to make it work for you, especially, I'm assuming most of you, if not all of you, are solopreneurs. You might have a VA or somebody who helps you, but for the most part, you're doing all the work. So it can feel a little overwhelming, but it's definitely, you can adapt it to work, even if it's just you on your own. All right, the next book is by Pat Flynn, who's one of my very favorite like gurus or marketing experts, business experts, whatever you want to call them. He and Denise Duffield Thomas have been very inspirational for me. It's hard sometimes to believe that you can run a business that puts your clients first, that values people, not numbers, that values a happy life and not just a lot of money. And he models this very well. He really, I think, has his audience and customers' best interests at heart all the time, and is somebody that I've bought several courses from. I followed him almost from the beginning when he started Smart Passive Income. The book title is called Superfans. And in this book, he walks you through how to turn people from just barely hearing of you, not knowing you exist, and just stumbling upon you someplace, and turning them into super fans. And it starts with the first time they hear about you and moves on to they're interacting with you but aren't customers yet, and then when they're customers, and teaches you how to connect with them, help them feel like they're a part of something and a part of your tribe, and treat them like VIPs in the end so that they are just super fans of yours. You know, those people, myself included, who are, well, I'm not a super fan of Apple, but there are a lot of people who are super fans of Apple. I love all their products. They frustrate me. But anyway, you can turn people into super fans of you. And imagine if you had 20 people, 100 would be possible, but even just 20 who adored you, trusted you, absolutely thought you were the best thing to ever happen to their vacations, couldn't say enough good things about you to all their friends and family. Imagine how that would transform your business. And that's what that book, Superfans, will help you figure out how to do. And that is one that we've worked through in Insiders as well. So if you're interested in a standalone course, I would just adapt the Insiders program, walking you through the book and showing you how to use it for your business. Let me know. This next one too is another favorite of mine, Joey Coleman. The book is called Never Lose a Customer Again. Joey Coleman is very underrated. I think most people have never heard of him, and most people don't even pay attention to the kind of thing he teaches. And I think that's a real shame, because I believe strongly that if you were to implement the things that he teaches in this book and treat your customers the way he talks about treating them, that you will never have to market your business again. You will have so many referrals. The referral game is slow. It's slow to build, but once you get there, it can just transform your business. And imagine if you first attract clients using the Ask You Answer, then take those new prospects and turn them into super fans. And then when they've worked with you, you just nurture them throughout the whole experience and have a flawless and amazing client experience. You'll have so many referrals of people, like your best clients are referring you to their friends and family who are probably very much like them. Your business would be completely different. So what is this book about? Joey walks you through, it's based on a class he taught called The First 100 Days, where he walks you through really taking care of people throughout that whole process. Most businesses are very good at nurturing people up to the point of them becoming a customer. And then as soon as you sign on with them, things kind of fall apart and you feel like, oh, they just want my money and now they don't care about me anymore. Using what he teaches in this book will change that. So one of the things, just to give you a couple of examples of what he talks about in here, there are a lot of times when you've started planning somebody's vacation. They've just signed on with you. You had your consultation call. They paid your fee. And now you're starting to plan their trip. But it might be a week or more before they hear from you again. And you know that you're working very hard and that you're really trying to design something that is perfect for them. But for them on the other side, they're like, oh, now it's crickets. She got my money. And now she just doesn't care about me and she's moved on to other clients. So it's important to communicate those things throughout the process. And anything that makes your client nervous, that makes them feel uncertain, they don't know what the next step is, you just over-explain all of that and make sure that throughout the whole process, from the time they sign up to work with you until beyond them returning from their trip, that you're in constant contact, you're anticipating their needs and questions, answering them in advance so that there's no point in the process where they're feeling frustrated, uncertain, forgotten. It's just a really great book and I love it. And I, like I said, this is one that we worked through in Insiders as well. So if you're interested in this one, I like, you guys, I love all of these. I think all of these are such great, there's so many great things in these books that will change your business if you implement them. Learning about it is not going to do anything. You have to actually implement it and make changes in your business in order to see any of this change your business. But I can't imagine a scenario where you implement this stuff and it doesn't change your business for the better. All right, now we're moving on to the money books. And the first one is called Profit First by, oh, I should have looked up how to pronounce his last name. Mike Michalowicz, I think it's a long name. This is one that I worked through with my Insiders group as well. And I also recorded an episode talking about this. So episode 51, I talked about this book and the basics around it. But he has a really great, simple, I can do math. I just don't like it. And sometimes managing money feels very overwhelming. Not the managing part, but figuring out like how to take care of taxes and all of that stuff. Like, it's just a little much for me. He really simplifies things and tells you how to set up your banking so that it's automated. You're automatically, every time money comes in, you're setting aside the right amount for taxes, the right amount for maintaining your business, and the best part, setting aside money so that you earn a profit as well, and you're not just constantly reinvesting it all into your business. And one of my insiders, she told me even last year, amid COVID and everything, that because of the work we did through this book in Insiders, for the first time ever, her tax accountant said, okay, here's how much you have due. And she said, okay, that's fine, and wrote the check because she had followed this system and had the right amount in her tax savings account to cover that tax bill without stressing about it, without having to pull money out of her personal account, all of that. This is such a great book. Yeah, and I really, really recommend it. He does also, this is another one where it's mostly written for people with larger businesses. So some of the numbers need to be tweaked a little bit for our situation. I also think I probably mentioned this in the podcast episode about it, but in addition to the accounts that he talks about, I definitely recommend a rainy day fund as well, because in our industry, it is never a matter of if there will be a slowdown, it's when. COVID has been absolutely devastating. Like, there's no way any of us could have imagined something like this happening. But there have been other devastating things for the travel industry. And anytime there is a major financial crisis, it always affects our business. So you need to be ready and prepared to weather that storm. If you do it right, when that happens, you will have money set aside to take advantage of it. I know a lot of travel agents are traveling right now. There are a lot of great opportunities for travel agents that are screaming deals. So this book will definitely help with that. And then of course, travelgeniuses.com/episode51 is my episode where I talked about that as well. The next book is a personal money book. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not a big fan of the title, no swear words, but it's called I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi. And I have talked about this before as well. This is sort of, if you've heard of Dave Ramsey, he's sort of the opposite of Dave Ramsey. Both have pros and cons to them. My husband is a Dave Ramsey person, so if it was up to him, we would never go out to eat, we would never do anything fun, we would never go on vacation, I would not be able to shop on Amazon anymore for sure. He's always looking for sales and deals and always trying to save as much money as possible, and he takes care of all the savings. I, on the other hand, want to enjoy my life. Like, I don't want to spend my life just existing on nothing so that we have more money. So that's where Ramit comes in. And very much like Profit First, Ramit's philosophy about personal finance and savings is to automate it. If you've read any of those habit books that are out there, the less thinking you have to do, the less action you have to take, the more automated things are, the more likely you are to do it. So when it comes to savings, if you have to, every time you get paid or a couple times a month, however you manage your money, if you have to consciously make the choice to move money from your checking account to your savings account and leave it there, you have to like build that willpower muscle. You have to hope it's very strong in that moment, or you're very likely to just be like, oh, I'd rather spend it on something else, or I don't really feel like we have the extra money this week, so I'm just going to leave it and I'll move it later if we have enough at the end of the week or whatever it is. Ramit's policy is you just automate it. Like, you can have your bank set up to automatically transfer money at a certain time, a certain day of the week or the month, and automate that. So you have to make that decision once when you're feeling strong and determined and you really want to build that savings account. And then later you don't have to think about it anymore. So you don't have to worry about waffling on that decision. He also has a couple of other things that he talks about that I really like. One is his money dials. Everybody has their thing that they like to spend money on. Some people really like food and going out to eat. Some people like concerts and going to special events. Some people like travel. One that I really like is convenience, like just making life easier. So the whole idea behind this is know what things are important to you and be okay with spending money on those things. And the things that aren't important to you, if you don't care about eating out, be super cheap about eating out and like plan to make all your meals at home so that you can spend more money on travel, which I bet most of us have that as one of our higher money dials. So you just like spend more money on the things that you love, but cut back on the things that aren't that important for you so that you have more money to spend on the things you love. And then he also has money rules. And this is where I've got myself in trouble with books. One of his rules and the inspiration for one of my rules is that if he's even remotely interested in a book, he gives himself permission to buy it. So he's not constantly spending that mental energy like, should I get it? Well, what if I don't like it? Whatever. He just like, oh, that book looks interesting. I'm going to buy it. Another one of his rules is around air travel. If it's over a certain amount of miles or time, he will do business or first class. Anything under that, he'll just do coach. So it takes a lot of the mental energy out. So you have the mental energy to spend on important decisions and anything else you've created rules around, so you don't even have to think about them anymore. All right, now my last book, and the one that if you only read one book, I hope this is it. I think sometimes maybe we're not ready for certain things when we read them. So it's fine. It might not be for you now, but I really think that if everybody in the whole world could take the lessons from this book to heart, we'd all be so much happier. And it has nothing to do with business. It is called Loving What Is by Byron Katie. Byron's the first name, Katie is the last name. And I have literally anybody I know that ever tells me they're struggling with something, send them this book. I have bought so many of these books, it's not even funny. And the basic idea behind the book is that we spend so much, like, think about all the things you're thinking people should do. Like, you're frustrated with your spouse because they should be respecting you more. They should be helping more with the kids. They should be taking the trash out every day. They should put the toilet seat down, whatever it is that you're shooting about. Or even yourself, you could have ideas in your head about how you should be acting. But those thoughts are really draining, and just reminding yourself all the time of something you're unhappy about. And really, you're trying to change something you can't. When I read this book, I was struggling with somebody. It wasn't my husband or any of my kids or anything like that, but somebody that was just not being very nice to me at all, like being awful, really. And I was kind of stuck with them for a while. And I was really like, really, really having a hard time and constantly like, they should be nicer. They should not be talking to me like that or treating me like that. And I was just upset all the time. And then I found this book, and I don't even know how I found it. But what she has you do, there's more to it, but the Cliff Notes version, and I will link to her website as well. She has a lot of free resources on the website. So if you're not ready to buy it or can't find it at your library, a lot of the stuff she's got, videos of her walking through the whole process with people. It's really great. But the basic idea is that you ask yourself several questions. One is this true? Is it true that they should be nicer to you? I mean, my first answer is yes, of course they should. But how can you absolutely know that it's true? Maybe not. Maybe there's a lesson I need to learn. Maybe there's a lesson they need to learn. I don't know. I can't know anything absolutely. So no, I can't absolutely know that it's true. How do you react and what happens? And I feel like it used to say, how do you feel when you believe that thought? Like, how does it make you feel to constantly be thinking, they should be nicer, they should be listening to me, they should do what I say if it's about your kids? How does that make you feel? It makes you frustrated. It makes you angry. All of these things. And they're never good feelings that you feel when you're thinking about that. And then the final question, who would you be or how would you feel without that thought? What if you could just let it go? What if you stopped thinking about all the things they should be doing and just, like the title of the book is, Love What Is. Like, you just accept, like, I can't, maybe this is how it's supposed to be and I can't change it right now and I'm not in control of them. If you could just stop with all the shoulds, how would you feel? How different would you be if you could let go of those thoughts? And so anyway, I know that's really probably the last thing you expected me to talk about on this episode. And so I tell people all the time, like, I feel like I'm trying to convert you to a cult when I tell people how much I love this book. As far as I know, there's no cult involved. I read this 10 years ago, probably, and haven't really read it since. So I'm a little rusty and I probably should reread it, but it still helps me when I find myself being really frustrated with people and the way they're behaving. And when I'm starting to feel sick or starting to just have bad mental energy, I know it's because I'm having incorrect expectations and I need to adjust that. And I just very quickly reframe it using what I learned in this book so long ago, and it makes a huge difference. So I know that doesn't have anything to do with your business, but it's really my very favorite book. And now that I've said all that, I'm feeling kind of silly, like maybe I shouldn't include it, but it's a good book and you can take it or leave it. I'm not forcing you to read it. And I promise it's not a cult. It's just a very good book. So that is all of my book recommendations, and not all of them, but those are my favorites right now. Those are the ones that I pulled from my shelf to share with you. And I hope some of that has been helpful. I hope you check a couple of them out, and please let me know what you think, because maybe I'm just crazy and they're not really as good as I think they are. But I think that if you really do some of the work that they talk about in these books, and like I said before, don't just read them. Reading them isn't going to make any difference in your life or your business. If you do the work that they talk about, even just profit first is kind of a whole. You don't need the whole, everything in the book, but you need to at least set up those bank accounts and make the transfers and set up the percentages. But the rest of them, like they ask you answer, super fans, never lose a customer. If you just take one or two things from those books and implement them into your business, I think it'll make a big difference. And they're not really time intensive, drastic changes. They're just little things that you can do as you're working with clients that will just endear them to you. Is that the right word? Endear you to them. It'll make them love you. It'll make them super fans, and it will make them clients for life. And that's what you want, right? If you have any questions about any of the books in this episode, or if the ones that I've worked through with insiders, if you're interested in a standalone course, just kind of adapting things to the travel industry and helping you figure out how to make it work for your business, let me know and I will fast track that for you. Otherwise, I will be back soon with another episode. And until then, have a great week.